Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and we still have a whole other hour of fun here on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Now, we're going to get to all kinds of things this hour. I'm going to attempt to pick up the pace more than I normally do. I'm sorry, I get distracted, but I'm going to try to get through like 20 emails this hour. But I do want to get to this one because I've had similar emails to this come in about having a baby or adoption or, well, anyway, here's the email. Dear tall and handsome drink of water, I already like this lady, Chris. My husband and I are on a journey of infant adoption. We currently have one biological son and faithfully embarked on this path to grow our family. Lately, we have been struggling with the decision to continue the matching process. The state of the country looked different when we started. The current administration, the economy, the looming fact that grocery shelves could be empty, the list goes on. All these have major impacts on families. We are now faced with the question, is it a smart decision to add another child to take care of, knowing the obstacles we will face? Do you step out in faith knowing that God will provide all we need, or does God give us common sense to understand what is going on and use discernment and the choices we make, like this one? We don't want the communists to win, but we also don't want to put our family in jeopardy with not being able to provide, no matter how hard we work. What do hard-working, growing families like ours do? Thank you for being a voice we can relate to, and know we will always get the truth. Her name is Jennifer. All right, Jennifer, and anyone else doing this right now. I have always viewed adoption as being the most blessed thing you can do for another human being. Right now, whether you go through with yours or not, but right now, I don't know whether you're looking for a little boy or a little girl, but right now there's a little boy or a little girl that's in an orphanage or about to be in an orphanage or about to be had, right? Maybe your child hasn't even been born yet, but then they'll go to an orphanage. And that child might face a lifetime of uncertainty, of foster homes, and there are many wonderful, I mean, just wonderful foster families, but there's a ton of evil in the foster network as well, where these kids are preyed upon, just tons of evil stuff. That kid can face a lifetime of, my mom didn't want me, my dad didn't want me, no one wants me, I'm useless. These kids face these things. Or that child can come into your home and learn your values and learn what it is to be loved and learn hard work and know that they're here for a purpose. I don't care if nuclear winter breaks out tomorrow. If it is on your heart to take a child from a road of darkness and bring them into the light, bring them into your home, you adopt. You go get that kid. Go get that kid. Never think twice about it. Never look back. We can't use the economy as an excuse. Poor people have been cranking out babies since time began. As we speak, there's some family in Africa somewhere living on $1 a month, and they just had their fifth child, and they're going to make it. You can make it. Go get that kid. All right? Go get that kid. Denzel Washington-ish. The way you describe the system we're up against, would you be shocked if the FBI comes up with an excuse to come knock at your door? His name's Brian. Oh, no, I wouldn't be shocked at all. No, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I've already talked to my lawyer about it. Now, I don't do anything illegal, but that doesn't matter. Remember when Cheryl Atkinson came out and said, yeah, they tried to plant kiddie porn on my computer. That's something they do. Remember how they framed those guys for that assassination and kidnapping thing in Michigan? They frame people all the time. They lie all the time. They lied about Trump. They lied about everything. Oh, of course. They could easily do it. I'm not stopping, though. I don't care. I'm not going to stop at all. I'm not going to stop speaking out about the evils of a federal law enforcement arm that has been weaponized against good, normal people. I will not. You know the FBI thing? You know that gets worse from here, right? You know they're going to start coming after your church. They are. It's starting with pro-lifers now. The pro-lifers, they're the appetizers. Because remember, all these communists, they all want to destroy their political opponents. Every single one of them do. There is no greater block of political opponent to Democrats in this country than the evangelical community. They are well aware of that. Now, that's not universal. There are a lot of garbage churches out there. Well, our pastor's gay, all that crap. But no, for the most part, as a voting block, they view churches as being evil. They have forever wanted to shut them down. They have always, something they've always wanted. They're in positions of power now that will allow them to start doing that more and more. So no, screw the FBI. Marginalized elite Jesse. Finally, someone with a national platform speaking out about the systemic discrimination against freakishly tall people. We have been oppressed, depressed, and compressed for far too long. From Honda Civics to airplane seats to doorways and hammocks. I want to walk around with my head held high, but I have to watch for ceiling fans. What can be done about this persecution? Well, I'll tell you something. We need to start here. Ladies, a lot of this is on you. Why are you marrying and breeding with short men? Right? What, Chris? We're talking about bloodlines here, all right? We're talking about... I'm just kidding. Even the shorts deserve love. I mean, less than the tall people, but they deserve love. Dear Jesse, I've never asked you a history question, but this one hit me hard. Could the fall of Rome be attributed in part to a lack of patriotism or nationalism? As Rome became so rich and powerful, did they allow their version of the left to educate younger generations that they were bad, conquering imperialists rather than the beacon of civilization? Oh, yeah, that was a huge part of it. But another part is this. You know how we talk about the three characteristics of all of our cultural leaders now? And you're rolling your eyes because you've heard me say it 1,000 times, but the three things are no love of country, no connection to the real world and how normal people live, and a belief they should rule as kings and queens. But let's focus on one at first. We talk a lot, and I talk a lot about how the Democratic Party, the activists, how they actively hate the country and they want to burn it to ash. That's true, but a growing number of people are simply apathetic to the country. They don't really give country a thought. Now, you do. You fly an American flag. You go to Trump rallies. You have patriotic bumper stickers on your car. You know about the Constitution. You've probably read the Constitution. I bet you teach the Constitution to your children. You think about your country. You are mindful of your country, and you know you are blessed to be here. But so many people in this country just don't. They just don't. And as your country, as things get worse and worse within your borders, that problem will get worse and worse. As the communists continue to educate children that America is nothing but slavery and the slaughtering of Native Americans, we are growing generations of people who lack patriotism. They're just not mindful of America. And yes, it was hugely a problem in Rome at the time. Like I referenced Rome earlier about the fall of the Roman Empire and how, well, the fall of the Roman Republic and how it became an empire ruled by Caesars instead of the Senate. That, a huge part of that was these Roman senators who ran the country, they would go fight these wars and they would massively import slaves because slavery is the history of the world, right? They would massively import slaves so they could bring the slaves in and fire all the workers they were paying. So they would take these Roman citizens on their payroll and immediately banish them to the unemployment rolls and make them all poor just to line their own pockets. Again, it's not as much the lack of patriotism for everyone, although that's a problem. It's a lack of patriotism at the top. Remember, for most of this country's history, presidents would go fight in wars or had fought in wars. Your business leaders would go fight in wars. How many professional athletes signed up and went and fought in things like World War II? It was just what you did. No. You can have my $1 million contract. I'm going to fight for America. Chris is laughing because it's so absurd when you think about it today. It's just not what they do. Our generals don't fight in wars today. They don't. They wouldn't even think of it. When's the last time a general died in combat? If all the peasants are dying, why aren't the generals dying? It doesn't enter their mind. Your leaders must lead. Your leaders must lead, and they must love the country. When your leaders, your political elite, your media elite, your business elite, when they just view America as a place that needs to be looted like an unmanned bank vault, well, that puts your society in a really bad place, and that's exactly what happened in Rome. It's exactly what's happening here. All right. Someone wants to talk Heavy D and Trump. Who would they pick as VP? This is interesting. And someone wants to know how to save money right now. I actually do have a couple of things for you, at least what we've been doing. They want to know what we've been doing. But yes, the prospect of empty grocery shelves does have us worried. We are taking precautions in the Kelly household. I've told you about My Patriot Supply over and over again, about having an emergency 3-month food kit. Look, you need to do this. If you can handle it, if you can afford it, everyone in your home needs an emergency 3-month food kit. I don't know what the future brings. Nobody does. But the things I'm hearing are dark, man. It's rough out there. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com because then you get $250 off your emergency 3-month food kit. It gives me peace of mind to know if the grocery store shelves are empty, my family will eat, at least for 3 months. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Every person in your home needs a 3-month food kit. It'll ship fast. It ships free. It ships unmarked. Preparewithjessekelly.com.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Yeah. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, we're right here live. You can email us during the show. Many people do. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ever knowing Oracle, listening to the Tuesday podcast on Heavy D and Trump and wondering who are the likely VPs to run with each. Kamala might know something about Heavy D. That's not nice. That's a nice one, too. I think Trump will pick somebody within his own circle who he trusts implicitly. If Trump's the nominee and he's the likely nominee because he's the most popular Republican in the country, I think you're going to have, and frankly, I hope you're going to have a more jaded and cynical version of Trump than you had last time. He had all these Washington establishment types filling up his administration with every loser they could find. I think this next time he will only pick the super loyal ones. If I had to guess, I would guess Trump's VP is going to be Rick Grenell. I would guess it'll be Rick Grenell. Chris, did you seriously just say who? Do you not know who Rick Grenell is? Jeez, Chris, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you. Go look up Rick Grenell. Good grief. He's a good dude, by the way. Good dude. I know Rick a little bit. He's a very, very good dude. I could see Trump picking Rick Grenell. I could. Now, I don't know how well that would land, but that's what I think. As for Heavy D, I don't know. Remember, people pick VPs. The VP pick is always to balance out a deficiency in the main candidate. Why did Barack Obama pick an idiot like Joe Biden? I mean, why in the world would you pick this guy?
The food prices, the main driver of food prices is not the price of beef and eggs, et cetera, although they're up. It's packaged goods. Packaged goods. You're going to see people not buying Kellogg's Raisin Bran, which you're going to see them buy another Raisin Bran, which would be a dollar cheaper. I mean, so what's happening is there is real movement.
Okay. Why would Obama pick an idiot like that? Because he's always been this way. Why would he pick that? Obama was so young, such a fresh face. He'd been in the Senate like 5 minutes before he ran for president. So he had no foreign policy experience whatsoever. Joe Biden's been in the Senate since George Washington was president. So he has a ton of it. Now, granted, he's been screwing it up his whole time, but he had a ton of it. So they needed that. They needed to fill in that gap. And they needed an old white guy. Obama was also a young black communist, and that concerned a lot of people. You needed him. Well, he's going to need the saintly old white guy to help moderate him a little bit. Why did Trump pick Pence? Same thing. Same thing on ours. Why did Trump pick Pence? What's Trump's reputation? Loud, bombastic, a little vulgar, in your face, tooth and nail fighter. You want someone to balance him out. Pence has that image. Well, he's the saintly gentleman out there. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I will take very good care of you. I read books to children on the weekends. It helped balance out Trump's deficiencies. Why did Biden need Dome? Well, Biden's old and white as snow, and the Democratic Party only focuses on this despicable identity politics now. He needed a woman and a black one. And Kamala Harris was more than willing to suck it up and take the job. That's just the bottom line. Which leads me to this. Dear Dr. Jesse, imagine we just finished the GOP presidential primary and Heavy D just won. Your phone rings. His campaign says he wants you to be the VP, and anticipating you say no, says you can continue to do your show because we all know VP is the most useless job in the country. What would you do? One, I would not be allowed to keep doing the show, but let's use your hypothetical situation. I would find it very difficult. If it was an administration I believed in, I would find it very difficult to say no, but I would need clarification on the powers I'm going to have. I'm not quitting a job I have now that I have a blast doing and actually have some influence, which is absurd that I have any influence. I'm not quitting a job where I have influence to go be a vice president with no influence whatsoever. If I'm, say, vice president in charge of cleaning out the FBI. Now, yes, in that case, I am signing off for the last time in the Jesse Kelly Show. I will see you in 8 years when we are done in the administration because I got me some work I got to do. That's the case. All right, let's get to this. Dear Jesse, since I can't afford steaks or tri-tip anymore, we've been eating more ground beef. Last night I made some Swedish meatballs. They were fantastic. As the economy sinks slowly into the toilet, I think we're going to have to get inventive to make cheaper protein taste delicious. Do you like Swedish meatballs? Yes, I do. What are you doing, if anything, to work around these insane prices and feeding your family? For us, it's less eating out, buying cheaper proteins, be better eating leftovers, plus relying more on the garden and chickens, says I can say. His name is Drew. I will tell you, we are taking steps now. We've been taking steps, and we're accelerating those steps now as these things scare me more and more. I will outline all that here in just a moment. Before I get to that, do remember that you actually have a vote every single day. It's not once every 2 years. Every single day you vote with your money. It didn't used to be that way because corporate America stayed out of politics. Now that corporate America has been completely taken over by the communists, you vote with your money every day. Are you sending money every single month to Verizon? If you are, you're funding somebody who hates you and they're trying to wreck the place. Are you sending money every single month to AT&T or T-Mobile? And I'm not passing judgment. I've had all three of those. Lord knows they've run enough commercials with my money. You don't have to. You can have the same great 5G network as one of those big guys. You can pay a whole lot less, and you can pay your money to a company that actually loves you. Pure Talk. If you dial pound 250 and say Jesse Kelly, You can switch to Pure Talk, and that'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. Every single month, you can send your cell money to a company that spits in your face or a company that shares your values. Their CEO's a veteran. Customer service, American. Hiring Americans. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. It takes less than 10 minutes. Keep your phone, keep your number, or get new phone, new number, whatever. Less than 10 minutes. #250, say Jesse Kelly.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Guy wrote in and said, hey, the economy's going bad, not buying steaks anymore, eating more ground beef. What am I doing? You want to know what I'm doing to try to save money right now because things are tight, obviously, for everybody. It's really tight. Here's a few things we are doing. I'm not telling you to do any of these things. These are just things that we're trying to save money, all right? One, yes, we're eating out less. There's no question about that. Eating out less, which I'll be honest, I love eating out because I'm such a food guy. I love going out to different restaurants. And it's not that I don't go out at all anymore. I do, but we're doing that less. Two, we bought a steer. We bought a cow. All right, just I'll call it a cow. We bought a cow. Now, that's a boatload of money. So we split it with two other couples. And it was initially a pretty expensive investment because I had to get one of those stand-up deep freezers, and those aren't cheap. We didn't exactly go top of the line, but they're not cheap. But when you split a steer, and you can do this in your area. Don't think that it's something that, oh, it's unique to Texas or something like that. You can do this. You just have to look into it. When you split a steer, you end up with a freezer full of meat, and they'll butcher it the way you want it butchered. We have tons and tons and tons of burger because there's so many things you can do with burger. We have tons of steak too, but I'm not telling you how to do this or what to do. I will tell you, if I had to do it over again, I would have basically burgered the whole thing. I'm not exactly a steak snob. I eat steak and eggs at Waffle House. So when I say I'm not a steak snob, I'm not a steak snob. Our steaks we got from our steer were really bad. Unedibly bad. They were terrible. So tough you couldn't eat them. They were really bad, Chris. What's that, Chris? Chris said, grind them. Well, I don't own a grinder, and I don't want to buy a grinder right now either. But maybe I should just go get a grinder because I don't want these steaks. We're going to eat them because we're not going to waste them, but they're really bad. I would just look, you get what you want. If I had it to do over again, I would have burgered out the entire steer. Now, that's initially a big bill, but the savings are drastic over what you get in the grocery store right now. And it is nice. You know, anytime we're making hamburger helper or something high end like that, we go to the fridge or we can just walk out to the deep freezer, grab a pound of burger, always having that there. Biloxi shrimp, we have stocked up on as much of that as possible too, because it goes in the stand up deep freezer. And so, we have a freezer full of burger and shrimp. That'll go a long way. By the way, BiloxiShrimpCo.com, promo code Jesse. I like the bundles of things because it helps me save money now that I have the freezer space. Okay, so we did a steer. We stocked up on as much shrimp as humanly possible. The wife, I have to give her credit for this because I'm not involved and not getting involved. She bought a couple stand-up gardens. They're not in the ground. Didn't cost hardly anything. They're basically like plastic snap together gardens. They stand up 4 feet off the ground, I would say, 2 or 3 feet wide by 4 or 5 feet long. That's so just a little long garden. She bought two of those, and we went out and we got a lot of the bare essentials. We got peppers and onions. She's got lettuce in there just in case, you know, just in case those grocery store shelves are empty. We also, in our backyard, started planting fruit trees. Those, I will tell you, I was a little sticker shocked when we went out to get them, but we talked ourselves into it again because I don't know what's going to come with this economy. So we have grapefruit, which we don't even eat grapefruit, but they had some kind of a deal on it. And look, you can survive on some grapefruit, blueberries, bushes, oranges, I think we got, but we're just as much as we can. I don't have a big ranch or something like that. I'd love to have one, but that costs a lot of money. I don't have a big ranch or a ton of property. As much as we can, we are putting things in our home, in our physical possession, that will allow us to eat. Yes, obviously, I already told you about my Patriot Supply, too. I think that should be part of it. I know that's a big cost, too. It is $250 off right now, but I know it's still a big cost. I'm not taking any chances with the things people are telling me. But that's what we did. We bought a steer. We're planting more fruits and vegetables in the backyard. And that's beyond that. Yeah, leftovers. Don't eat out as much. One of the things we do, when we've done this a lot, especially in the past 4 or 5 months when it comes to budgeting stuff, we've really started cutting out anything we view on television. We don't watch a bunch of TV anyway, but inevitably people will cut the cord, which we cut the cord, and that saved us a ton of money. We used to have DirecTV, but they're a garbage company, so we cut DirecTV. And we started to go more online. But here's what a lot of people do, and maybe you've done this. I know we did it initially. You cut the cord, and then you start signing up for every subscription service, so you're spending as much as you were. Hey, no more DirecTV, but hey, I'll get YouTube TV and Netflix and Amazon Prime, and oh, can't do without HBO. And soon your bill looks exactly the same. We've analyzed that we just don't watch much TV in the house and don't want to watch much TV, so we've started cutting that stuff out. And if you're a TV person, don't be ashamed. If you're a TV person, there's nothing to be ashamed about. I will tell you, I was worried that we were going to be bored more as a family. It's been the opposite, actually. We found we were bored watching TV. When the TV's off, we're less bored. Chris brought up a good point, which is very rare, but Chris brought up a good point, too. You have skills. I don't know what your skills are. Everyone has a different set of skills. God gives us all different talents, but you have skills. If you're hard up for money right now, little side gigs can really help with that power bill that's starting to break you if you have skills. Ladies, maybe you bake really well. I'm not telling you open up a restaurant or something like that. Maybe you make these kind of cookies really well. There's no law that says you can't make batches of cookies and sell them on Facebook. People will sell them on social media. People will buy stuff like that now. There's always a market for things like that. My oldest son is desperate for a job, but he's only 13 years old.
wants a full-time job. I would give him a full-time job, but it's illegal. So he's desperate for money. He wants money. Okay, well, he can do handiwork around the neighborhood, and he's doing that. When old people need something rearranged, he goes over. You go use that youthful energy and muscle. But he has a great skill I could never have of art. He sits down and he'll do these sketches by hand that are amazing, and he do them online that are amazing. He's already starting to work with these online companies that, hey, we need someone to write a background for us. Okay, that's a skill. He can go make $50 doing something like that. A handyman like Chris, maybe you're a handyman. Chris is always going to have somebody who's going to be willing to pay him for all that stuff, building his own menorah and engine rebuilding and all the other stuff he does. Those are valuable skills that can help line your pockets, these little side gigs. You have a skill, and I bet you there's a market for a skill that you're not using. Look, I can't get paid to nap. Those are my skills, right? That doesn't do me any good. Set aside some money for your Chalk subscription, though, because times may be tough. You can't afford to get weak. Not in this economy. Not at all. And as long as we're talking about Chalk, I tell you all the time about the male vitality stack and female vitality stack. I probably neglect this too much. I need to be clear. They have a gargantuan list of natural herbal supplements for various things that either may be ailing you or vitamin deficiencies you have or things you may want. If you go to chok.com, you will find they have something there for everybody. And again, it's not big pharma. It's not medicine. It's natural herbal supplements. And we all need more of that and fewer chemicals, right? 35% off the subscriptions right now. 35% for a limited time. Go to chok.com, promo code Jesse. That's how you get 35% off, the lifetime of it. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We only have one segment left. We're going to do a rapid fire churn and burn, Chris, because I'm going to fulfill my email promises. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry I must leave you for a couple days, but I will be back with the sultry sounds of my voice blessing the airwaves again on Monday. What, Chris? Now, do take some time and enjoy your freaking self this weekend. And you know what? Here's another little project this weekend. Not just practicing with your Mantis X. Take your phone. Put it in a drawer this weekend. Walk away from politics for 48 hours, huh? We'll be back on Monday tackling all the new disasters they're bringing about. Put your phone down. Put it in the drawer. Go do something fun this weekend. Life is good, right? Life is good. You know what else is good? Helping widows and orphans. That's good. Have you ever thought about what that moment is like for the Gold Star widow whose husband is overseas, the day she gets a knock at the door and finds out he's never coming home again? Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about what it's like for the kids? You're never going to see your dad again. I just can't. That's tough. I love Tunnel to Towers. I love that there's an organization out there, an actual legitimate organization that doesn't steal all the money. I love that there's an organization out there that comes alongside these first responder families and Gold Star widows and their time of, I mean, devastation. Gosh, I don't even know how you'd go on. Well, Tunnel to Towers comes alongside them and they pay off mortgages to their home. So at least that's a financial burden that's not going to weigh you down on top of everything else. I love it. I think it's awesome. And all they ask from you and me, $11 a month. $11 a month. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org, $11 a month. Do it for me if you wouldn't mind. Jesse, do you ever get annoyed with people? Oh, wait, Chris. I forgot we have a soundbite for this. Hold on. Wait, that's not it.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Jesse, do you ever get annoyed with people asking how tall you are? I'm 6'10", good grief. And sometimes I answer 5'22", just to see how long it takes them to figure it out. Do you ever give them smart aleck answers like that? Early on, I was thrilled to be tall, especially in high school, because you're so awkward and gangly and you can't talk to girls anyway. And I was about a twig back then, so you needed something to stand out. And then I went through this phase where I was so annoyed by that, because it is everybody. Every single person you see, they can't help themselves. They say, how tall are you and do you play basketball? Every single person you meet. It'll be multiple times a day this happens to me. If I'm out in public, it will happen. It's an inevitability. And I let it get to me for a while. And I guess as I get older, I certainly don't think I'm more mature, but as I get older, I've gotten less and less bothered by that. People see something that's not normal. They're not insulting you. They're impressed by it. It's something they're wowed about. Just give that to them. It doesn't bother me. I tell them 6'8", but I did go through a period where I was annoyed and I would tell them, do you play miniature golf? Or I'd say, no, I'm a horse jockey or something. Like I had a bunch of things like that I used to say back and get really snide. But I was really just kind of a jerk about it, to be honest. Dear High T, lead singer of Deleterious Consequences. What, Chris? If you were ever to get a tattoo, what would it be? I have one that says 343 in black numbers with a thin red line through the middle to honor both the FDNY firefighters who were killed on 9/11 and all other firefighters killed in the line of duty. If I was to ever get a tattoo, it would definitely be something along those lines. I have nothing against tattoos. I've been at a tattoo parlor several times with my Marine buddies while they got them. Oh yeah, Chris, I was very, very, very close. Almost always under the influence, which is really a great time to put something permanent on your body. I just never, ever, ever could see one on the wall that I wanted on me forever. It was the forever part of it that held me back. That's it. I have nothing against them at all. It's just not my thing. Jesse, last night you briefly mentioned that you've been arrested. You didn't tell us why. You owe us the rest of the story. Speaking of the real story, you're the best radio personality since the great Paul Harvey. Oh, gosh, that is freaking praise right there. I've told you that story before. We were out causing trouble when I was a kid, high school. I think I was a junior or senior, and one of my buddies was always in and out of jail, and he was always fighting people, and I actually didn't do anything wrong. One of my buddies thought someone beside us gave him the bird as we were driving down the road. So we followed him. My buddy hops out of the car and goes and decks the guy. And I got it. Oh, I know, Chris. It's a good way to get shot. I leapt out of the car because I knew the guy hadn't done anything wrong and actually grabbed my buddy and pulled him off. But we could see them calling the cops. So, of course, we do the most irresponsible thing. We get in and take off and go taking off from the cops. We're hiding out in town all night long. And we wait a few hours. Well, we were really geniuses. And we think they're probably gone now. And we drive back to my buddy's house. Well, we drive close to it to see if any cops are there watching because we're going to drop him off. And I'm thinking, dude, I'm past curfew here. I'm going to get in trouble. I got to get you off. I got to get home. And, of course, geniuses that we are, the cops are, of course, staking out my buddy's house. They knew just who did it. Boom. Light us up. Multiple cops behind us in the back of a cop car. But to his credit, the guy who got decked, he told the cops down at the cop shop, hey, the tall guy, he was actually helping. So yeah, I've been arrested. They hauled me down there, but I didn't even get to the mugshot portion. They let me go. I didn't have to spend a night in the clink or anything like that. It was good to go. I did have to explain to my parents why I got home like 3 hours past curfew. That was not ideal. That was not ideal. Yeah. Well, the bad news is, guys, I was arrested. But hold on. Please put the paddle down. Dad, don't murder me. Hold on. Jesse, I often listen to your podcast while commuting to work with my toddler in the back seat. Whenever you play journalist Jesse, my toddler starts chanting your name. Thanks. Just what I need. His name is Matt.
That's journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse.
Look, Matt, I can't help it that there are legions of fans who came together to help us put together that soundbite. That's nothing I can do about that. And once again, thank you to thousands and millions, really, of fans who helped us put that together. That was wonderful. Hey, Oracle, how would you suggest normal everyday folk we go, as normal everyday folk, we go about speaking out against the things you were talking about? The corruption is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. What advice do I have for people without a platform like mine? Remember something. Pastor of mine one time told me, well, told everybody this. It was great advice. You know that there's not a single person on the planet who has the identical friend family circle you do? Not one. Yours is unique. Forget about this saving the world, saving the country stuff. One person at a time, all right? One person at a time. Now, do me a favor. Put your phone down. Put it in the drawer. Put your chin up. And enjoy your weekend. We will be back to do it again on Monday, all right? That's all.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.